So we are here when you, General Gluck, are about to debut Expeditionary Force 21. Just tell me in a nutshell, what is it?
Well, Expeditionary Force 21 is really it's a capstone concept for us in the Marine Corps that is going to highlight the next 10 years of how we are going to operate and how we're going to resource the Corps to be able to address the challenges that are in the future. It builds upon our concepts of ship-to-objective maneuver and operational maneuver from the sea and sea basing, and it focuses on bringing our expeditionary character back into a maritime mode, and all to be able to provide, you know, crisis response options for the combatant commanders.
You were in Japan for 2 years before you had this position, and you said just before we started that informed this role here. Tell me how forces, especially in Asia, we're all talking about this pivot to Asia, how they're going to be different in 10 years than they are now.
Yeah, you're right. I had the distinct pleasure to command I was the commanding general of the 3rd Marine Expeditionary Force in Okinawa, Japan. And we were responsible for the greater Far East out there, but also, more importantly, for some of our war plans in Korea. And so I was able to see exactly how Expeditionary Force 21, our expeditionary character, being forward stationed and forward deployed like that, gives us the opportunity to seize the initiative, to be able to react to today's crisis with today's force today. And I was able to see how the Marine forces, how we can come together so rapidly to be able to provide the capabilities that the combatant commanders need.
So when you're talking about training, how will training shift?
Well, training will change to some degree as how we focus on getting back to our amphibious roots, back with the Navy once again, to be able to look for more opportunities to get on naval vessels, as well as our command and control training so that we can look at our Marine Expeditionary Brigades and units and be able to get them so they can work together a lot closer so that when you have a crisis that you can bring the right amount of command and control to the right place at the right time.
So this really takes you back to the Navy, whereas perhaps what we've seen in these landlocked places like Afghanistan and Iraq, more work with the Army. Now you envision going back to the Navy.
Well, we've always been a naval service. It's part of our great heritage with the Navy. And, you know, we are teammates. And if we talk about getting there fast, getting there, you know, with forward station forces, it's going to be with the Navy. So we work very closely as a team.
And what might Marines do differently when they're deployed in, say, the Asia Pacific than they do now?
Well, biggest part is about engagement. It's about getting around. You know, the Far East Asia is very, very large, and the span of control is large. We deal with probably in the neighborhood of 65 to 70 exercises, activities, or operations in an annual period of time. So there's a lot of countries that you're working with over a period of time. And this gives our Marines and sailors an opportunity to get out there and engage with all our partner nations out there to make sure that we've got those relationships established.
You spent the past 6 months building this strategy. Tell me about some of the factors, some of the data that you looked at to create this strategy.
Well, what we looked at, first of all, we looked at what the intention was. And the intention was to get back to our expeditionary roots, to refocus almost back to the future before what we were in, say, in Iraq and Afghanistan, where we were fighting the forces ashore. So getting back to those expeditionary roots was really the foremost piece here. But also, as we've gone through downsizing of the force, how we can make it actually more resilient, to be able to show the operational reach that we have and the strategic agility and the tactical flexibility that Marine and Naval forces bring to our nation on a daily basis.
And tell me a little bit about the downsizing. How much smaller do you envision the Marine Corps to be in the future?
Well, as we came out of war, we were at 202,000 thereabouts, and now we're working our way down to somewhere between 175,000 and 182,000.
Okay. And what about the equipment and the gear? That's changing, too, as part of the strategy.
It is. As we are reducing the force size, we're also taking a look at how we can reduce some of that equipment and then look at the age of that equipment and try to figure out how we can go ahead and buy and replace some of that equipment. Some of it will be modernized, but some just is worn out and needs to be replaced.
Give me an example, if you will, of some of the equipment and the age of it.
Well, I would say that our amphibious tractor, for example, this has been in service for about 42 years now. It's been a great piece of gear for us. You know, we've operated it from ship to shore, and we've operated it on the shore. It's driven all the way to Baghdad. And now it's 42 years old, but it needs to be replaced. So we've been working very hard to come up with a replacement vehicle for that, and it's going to be the amphibious combat vehicle. We've been doing a lot of research on this for nearly 25 years.
That's a long time to do research. Why does it work, and is it something that can be built and deployed relatively quickly?
Oh, it can. We're looking at a couple of systems today that are already in production. So we're going to shift from a tracked vehicle to a wheeled vehicle because the technology has improved so much on wheeled vehicles. So that we looked at, we say in the next 5 years we'll be able to start fielding these vehicles and putting them in the hands of our Marines.
We're speaking with Lieutenant General Kenneth Gluck. He is Deputy Commandant of the Combat Development and Integration and Commanding General of the Marine Corps Combat Development Command. Also, I wanted to ask you about the force as it pertains to integrating women into it, because this is something that the Defense Secretary has told all of the services to do. It is part of the strategy of the Marine Corps, I know, going forward. Is it specifically part of Expeditionary Force 21? And if not, still, how do you envision women playing a role?
I would say
in this?
Every Marine is an integral part of Expeditionary Force 21, and all our women Marines are just as important as the men Marines that we have out there that operate with us every day. We're going to be full compliance with the directives that have come from the Secretary of Defense. We're looking at how to better get our women into the actual combat, ground combat MOSs now. And so we're working a plan that's going to make sure that it's completely deliberate, measured, and responsible so that we want to make sure we're going to not hurt any of our women by doing this.
And what is that? Is it specifically a part of the Expeditionary Force 21?
It's not specifically one of the tenets, but it's something that we look at as we move forward, because we will have a lot of our women Marines that will be participating, and they're going to be part of that force out there as part of our crisis response force.
Going forward, what sort of skills will the Marines have, perhaps that they don't have now or that they don't have in such a large degree?
I think a lot of our skills are very much the same that we have today, except we'll be refining those skills to be able to do things quicker, more responsive, be able to take our command and control and actually build it much quicker on the scene, to be able to take forces as they come together and deploy, to build them into an integral team, to be able to provide the right force at the right place at the right time for the National Command Authority.
Okay. And we spoke a little bit earlier, you were mentioning the different challenges in the Asia area, because there are so many different countries and they all have their own perspectives and disputes. What role does and will diplomacy play? Because I know when you were stationed in Okinawa, you dealt with some pretty hard diplomacy challenges over the aircraft there, for example.
Oh, absolutely. Diplomacy plays a large role. But, you know, we call it the dime. You know, you got diplomatic, you've got the information, you got the military, and you got economic, for example. All those factors all figure in. At any one time, you know, the M stands for military. You know, really could be big or it could be small. It all depends on the diplomatic relationships you have with that particular country. And many of the countries over there, they don't want a big M, big military presence. They want small teams to come in to help train, to build capability. Others want maybe a little bit more show of force.
Where do you go from here with Expeditionary Force 21? Well, it's just debuting now.
Right. We're debuting it here. It's kind of the keynote focus for us as a Corps here. What we'll do now is we'll actually put it out on the street. Our Marines are living it today, and they'll go into the execution mode.
Is this the first that they've heard of it?
No, we've been working it now. You know, like I said, we've been working for about 6 months. It's been very collaborative and transparent. We've been working with all our operational units, from those in Okinawa to the West Coast to the East Coast, those that are forward stationed, forward deployed, getting their inputs to make sure that we've got it right.
And how will it change anything that the Navy does, given that this is giving them that extra closeness to the Marine Corps that you said you used to have, but then over the past 10 years have gotten away from?
I think it's going to help to rekindle our relationships much more. I think that what you'll see during this symposium here, like, for example, is the great teamwork and relationship that our Commandant and the CNO have, and it'll be very forthright when you'll see that.
All right. Well, General Gluck, thanks so much for joining
us. Hey, before we go, can I just jump in with a quick question for Lieutenant General Gluck? I was reading a column, actually, that a young Marine lieutenant, female, wrote in one of the papers recently, talking about this whole issue of getting women to be able to pass the strength and endurance tests that the men are passing without reducing the standards that the men have. And she talked about a greater degree of upstream training much earlier in a Marine's career. Does that seem like a reasonable course, and what is the Marine Corps doing about making sure that women can get in a position to be able to pass the test that is the same test without changing the standards?
Right. Well, the initial test for our infantry officers course down there is pretty tough and pretty stringent, and I would say that not only some of the females are having problems with it, but the men do as well. There's this last test that they had, there were probably in the neighborhood of 25 to 30 male counterparts that didn't pass either. But they have an opportunity when they finish the basic school there to go ahead and depending on how soon they finish, there's a period of time for them to continue to build their endurance to be prepared for that test. And so we'll look at ways to go ahead and give them additional time for those that will go to the infantry officer course and are actually going to participate in the test to help build that endurance beforehand.
And aren't you rethinking the course itself or the standards?
No. The standards are going to be the same. The standards will stay. We're always looking at it, how to make it better. But as it stands right now, the standards will be the standard.
Okay. Well, thanks again.
Thank you very much.
And Lieutenant General Kenneth Gluck is the Deputy Commandant of Combat Development Integration and Commanding General of the Marine Corps Combat Development Command. We're live at the Sea Air Space Expo at National Harbor. I'm Emily Kopp. Over to you, Tom.
Thank you, Emily.